bill before us, House Bill 6, Act Law Tax Contribution to Certain Educational Institutions Restricting Sales State Tax Deductions Under 26 U.S. 170. Since the prime sponsor of that is a member of the committee who is now unwillingly touring Seattle Tacoma Airport, we will hold the bill over and hear testimony on it tomorrow. Okay. Next bill is House Bill 39, Student Loan Funding, and we have the prime sponsor, Mr. Sun, here, and Jerry Rumsford, another. Representative Sun?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Before we proceed, for the record, I must say that we have Representative Donnelly, Representative Phillips, Representative Hanley, and Representative O'Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this bill creates a Alaska Student Loan Corporation basically to bond finance the student loan program that we have. And I just want to speak generally rather than go through the bill section by section, because it is just kind of a complete issue. But the reason for doing it and why the bill was introduced, it was a result of some work by Senator Ferguson last year. And the issue basically is how can we continue to fund the student loan program at the rate that we've been doing it, and with the current financial situation faced by the state. And what this program basically sets up is a separate corporation run by post-secondary education, and it allows the sale of bonds in the bond market. Now, the student loan bonds aren't worth the dollar for dollar when you go to sell them. They're really, you get down there worth about 60 cents on the dollar, in the sense that you're borrowing money in the bond market, which you have to pay interest upon immediately, and we're loaning it out to students, of which we're not even accruing any interest while they're in school. That amounts, that non-accrual of interest amounts to about 30%, 35% of the loss of dollars. There's about a 10% default rate, or a little bit more, that varies. And there's the forgiveness provisions are about 5 to 8%. And the forgiveness is not as big as most people think, and there is some discussion of whether to do away with that or not. But the statistics tend to show that only one of three people ever achieve the degree they're after, which is one of the prerequisites to using the forgiveness, and only one of those three out of those ever come back to the state. So only about 1/6 of the program is ever utilized in the forgiveness provision. So what this allows us to do, we're lending out at about $80 million a year. If we went out to the bond market, we could utilize or keep continuing that $80 million loaning capacity with about $35 to $40 million of general funds, and we could borrow the other about $35 to $40 million, roughly, in that neighborhood, and keep the program up. And that, I think, I'm not sure where the administration stands on this bill, although in Governor Cooper's State of the Budget address, he only allocated about $35 million for the student loan program. So either he's going to support the bill, or we're cutting the student loan program in half. And I haven't got it real clear from the administration which way they're leaning on that, although post-secondary education is in support of the legislation. I think in your packet you'll have some computer runouts, and you always have to talk about the downside of any legislation. There's the upside, that we can basically cut our general fund contribution to the student loan program in half and yet continue the lending capacity that we've had in the past. The downside is that eventually borrowing money catches up with you, and about 30 years from now, I think in about 2016, this program begins to cost more money than it saves. And that's just because you can't keep borrowing money and paying interest on it immediately and collecting only 60 cents on the dollar forever. But it does allow us to maintain the program at about $5,500 limit and about $17,000 to $18,000, up to about 19,000 borrowers for the next 30 years. And I would point, there's one change in the bill I would like to recommend, in that section 5 of the bill, which is on towards the back page. It's on page 14, lines 15 through 22. I'd like to propose to the committee that section 5 be deleted from the bill. And that's a proposal in there. It was to provide that scholarship loans may not be made to a student who attends an institution if the default rate on the loans made to students to attend that institution exceeds the program default rate by more than 150% as defined in regulation. That sounds like a good idea until you apply it to all of the institutions and across the country that people attend, and we discover that many of our Alaska institutions are in excess of that number, and we would be depriving this program from a lot of people who are attending.
You want to delete just four.
Section right. Five.
The whole thing?
The whole section?
Yeah. It's only six lines.
No, I don't think you want that.
Well, delete it from the bill.
Right.
So you just move to take it out of the bill.
Yeah,
and then,
just take out four, and everything else will show up in statute.
Well, it's already there.
Yeah.
Section
okay.
120D is already in statute. So if you just
right.
take the whole section out, it'll be
an article.
Yeah. a drafting complication. So that's basically where it is. And Mr. Chairman, if we could take testimony on the bill here, I would prefer if the committee would hold it over until the other members had a chance to be here to act or consider the bill, so that when it did pass out of the committee, we had a full committee report on it. And with that, I will close, and I think there's other people here to testify.
Are there any questions of Representative Sun?
Not John, but do we have any bonding experts here?
I think we probably do, or will have.
Well, sometime during the course of this bill, Jimmy
yeah.
the Greek God.
Yeah, we have walking experts. This, from the state bonding perspective, this is will be considered, I guess, what is called moral obligation debt. For those of you who have been through the moral obligation debt argument, I won't drag you through it. For those of you who haven't, it's not worth hearing.
Bottom line, you got to do it.
But it's not state GO debt. It's not state general obligation debt. It's kind of next tier down. And
do you, Is part of the recommendation that the forgiveness or non-accrual of interest during school attendance, would that be amended by this bill? I don't
no.
know. Would that be possible to be amended on the terms of any given loan program under this? In other words, would it be the existence or non-existence of such a forgiveness, would that be part of a particular loan package paid for by an individual? I presume it would be you get a lower interest rate if you were able to pay it off.
It's not a part of this bill. I think the terms of the loan package, how it's lent out, the forgiveness, the interest rate, and the cap on the loan are all separate items. This is just a method of funding it. And I think if we're going to debate how the terms of the loan program, I prefer it be done separately than how to finance it. But it does make a difference on the financing if you have forgiveness or you don't have forgiveness. But the computer runs in here are all done based on the program as it exists today. Those are the only assumptions that we have to work on.
Representative Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Sun, what were some of the objections? I know this came right at the end of the session last time. And what were basically the objections to bonding for the student loan? What were some of the arguments against the bill when Ferguson introduced it?
Well, I think some people have just an inherent objection to going out and using bond money. It's just a question of priorities, that if it's high enough priority, we can fund it with general fund dollars and take it from someplace else. And I don't think people felt last year that we had to do that. That's one of the arguments. The other argument was more a fight between the other body and ourselves.
And is this the same as what we were looking at last year, or are there some changes?
I think there's some changes in it. This is as a result of, it's not the bill that came over from the other body. This is amendments that were made through the process, getting it up. And it never did come out of Finance Committee, but it was the proposed committee substitute was worked on there, and then there were some amendments made later on to try to fine-tune it a little bit. I think Kerry's here. He's probably a little more familiar with the changes that took place.
I remember, Chris, part of the problem was with the timing of the wording of the original bill. It
I have a resource committee meeting, Mr. Chairman, I'm supposed to be at, so I'm gonna leave you here if that's okay. Thanks.
Go ahead, Robert.
I'm Kerry Romesberg, Director of the Commission on Post-Secondary Education, and I brought a lot of information about the loan program if you want to get into that. I understand there will be, in response to a question, Mr. Chairman, that you asked earlier, I understand there will be a bill introduced by the administration at some point that will address terms of the program along the lines of what the governor addressed in his speech in terms of a two-tier loan program, altering forgiveness and eliminating it, and also altering the interest benefits during the grace year or during some part of when a student attends. I understand that's the intention. I haven't seen the actual drafting of it yet or the bill, but I suspect there will be something coming down. With regard to this bill, this does not address the terms of the loan program. What this really does is provide a mechanism for funding the loan program. And the commission's position, when we went through, and we spent a couple of years going through a number of alternatives, I hope you all got, we put out a report called 15 Years of Helping Alaskans. That was a blue covered report. This was in response to a section of a bill that passed last year asking us to do that. And in that, we've outlined some 30 or 36 different alternatives that we've looked at for this loan program over a number of years. Some of those have been adopted in terms of a $500 requirement for an individual. The amount of the loan has actually been required. Interest has been raised last year and some things like that. But now we're into the situation where, after looking at all this, the commission feels that their number one priority is to preserve the program as it now exists. We feel it's a very excellent program. It provides opportunity for Alaskans to go to school anywhere that they wish, and it does fund it at a level which does open the doors and provide access to education. We would like, if it were possible, to have the program continued as it has in the past under the general fund. As we know, the governor's budget has a level in there for student loans of $39.5 million, and that simply would not fund the program next year. So we're looking at alternate sources. With that, the best of the alternatives seems to be the bonding market. We looked at going to the permanent fund and see if those folks were interested in doing anything with the loan program. Indeed, they are not, because of the credit risk involved. So we did look at bonding. In response to a question that was asked earlier, one of the reasons, an additional reason that this bill didn't pass last year, there were the reasons that Representative Sun outlined very well. There was also a third, and that is, at that time, for bonding to really work in an effective manner, we have to, at least for it not to cost the state an inordinate amount early, it has to be done on a tax-exempt basis. And last year, under the tax code, we couldn't access tax-exempt bonds. I had reported that when I was in Washington, D.C., that there was a clause in the proposed legislation in Congress that would enable us to use tax-exempt bonds, and it looked like it would pass. When members of the House said, would I guarantee it would pass, of course I could not. And they said, well, they didn't like betting on the come to the bill, and that was another reason that it didn't pass last year. It turns out that Congress, of course, did pass the Tax Reform Act, and in the Reform Act is a clause that does enable our loan program to access the tax-exempt bond market. That gives us lower interest rates and really makes this whole thing possible. So now in that environment that we find ourselves, we can access this whole area of tax-exempt bonds. There are cash flows that are attached, that I hope you've had a chance to look at, that are attached to this bill. And you can see that if the state puts in around $20 million a year, now we have an ongoing commitment from the state, the way this is drawn up, of about $20 million a year, 20 to 25 goes up. And we can then sell bonds at a leveling off at $40 million a year and have an ongoing program that starts at $80 million, which is what we've had the previous year, and then slowly increases up to where it gets over a little over $100 million by the year 2010 or so. It shows small growth. It will not accommodate everyone that wants to borrow. We shouldn't think that it would. And it will cost the state money. And I don't think anyone should present this in any fashion but that. Clearly, if you're going to sell bonds, which in effect is borrowing, and pay interest on those, it's going to cost the state money in the long run. In the short run, it does not, compared to funding it from the general fund, even funding it at the governor's level. this would save general fund money. On the chart that I prepared that's attached to this bill in terms of the fiscal note, it shows that over the next 5 years, we would save about $160 million from the general fund. Now, save should really be put in quotes at that level. $160 million, as opposed to funding it from the general fund. If we use the bond market, we would have $160 million to do other things with. If we look at opportunity costs, if the state would invest that, and we know they won't, but if they would, then we see that we could run out. This program wouldn't really cost the state anything until about 30 years from now. In the year about 2013, out around that area, the pendulum does swing, and it starts running over to the negative side, and then from that point forward, it would cost more than if we just kept funding from the general fund. So in the long run, it would cost money. The other thing that should be remembered is that if, for some reason, at some future date, the state's economy turned around in an appreciable manner, we could stop at that point and get out of the bond market. What allows us to do that, as opposed to other bond issues that you're probably used to dealing with, is we are not pledging the loans that we will make with these bonds. We're not pledging these loans to the payoff of the bonds. Now, that's the typical way of doing it. What we're doing is pledging our portfolio. We have $380 million, and actually discounting it down, it comes down to about $285 million of good, solid dollars sitting out right now in our portfolio from all the loans that we've made over the past few years. We have an income stream that we know is going to come in from those, even assuming horrendous things with default rates. We have an income stream that's going to come in from those. That's what we are pledging against these bonds. And that will carry us for 5, 6, 7 years at least. And then at that point, the bonds that we would be making the eighth year, we would be pledging the loans that we've made for the first 5, 6, 7 years toward those. See, so we always have an income stream that we're pledging against them. And that's also what makes these very attractive student loan bonds. Student loan bonds are not popular, as you can well imagine, even without forgiveness, they're not popular. But what makes this particularly good, and the reason the bonding folks feel we will get a very good rating, is because we are pledging an outstanding portfolio and a known income stream against the bond. So it is possible. We can do it. The reason the commission endorses this, as I said, is that it's the only method we see to preserve the program as it now exists. It's the only way we see funding it at an $80 million level. We don't believe that we can get $57 million from the legislature. At least that's not the message we've gotten so far, and not the message we've gotten from the executive branch. If we could, we wouldn't be here endorsing bonds. But absent that, then we would like to see the program preserved. And this seems to be the best way of doing it. Addressing very quickly Section 5 in the bill, Representative Phillips is right. We don't want to say we want to delete. What you want to do is just you want to take it out of the bill and get rid of that language that's underlined there, as opposed to changing the whole loan program. The reason that's in there, of course, is that in terms of bonding, the folks would like to see some that kind of language. It would make the bonds much more saleable. The feds have a similar kind of thing with some of their loan programs. The problem with it is, if you really take 150% of the average and use that as the target, now it's worded a little funny, but if you take 150% of the whole program's average and say that's the cutoff, we would eliminate loans to Anchorage Community College, Ketchikan Community College, Seward Skill Center, well, it's Alaskaville Technical Center, now it's changed its name, Kotzebue Technical Center, almost every barber and hairdressing school in the state, the welding institutes. We would really hammer the in-state schools. So I agree with Representative Sun's recommendation that the best thing to do, even though I like the idea of targeting these schools and showing what the default rates are, I don't like the idea of eliminating Alaskan institutions from the program. So I would also support the elimination of that section. The default rate, and it was also covered in the publication that we did put out, the little brochure of the 15 years, the default rate for students that attend school in Alaska is 2-to-1 for those that go outside. And we should always remember that when we start trying to get tough on default rates, that what we're really doing is targeting our in-state school. So aside from that, I think the bill is in good shape. There have been, Representative Hanley, there have been some changes from last year, but they've essentially been fine-tuning. This is essentially the same bill that Senator Ferguson introduced. We made some small changes and some things when the bonding folks took it to their council and they looked at it. They made some little alterations in the bill. But I think, to my knowledge, and it's a very sound bill the way it's written now, absent Section 5, because I feel that that would cause some unnecessary controversy. I'll be honest with you. Section 5 says default rate as defined by regulation, and I will bare my soul here before the committee. If you pass this bill with Section 5 in, you're going to see the darnest regulations defining default rate you've ever seen coming out of my agency, because we're going to dance around that thing like crazy. We just can't eliminate all the schools in the state. And I would appreciate it if you didn't put me in that kind of position. I'd just soon see it taken out of the bill. So, aside from that, I think it's a very good bill. And I'd answer any questions you have. I've done the analysis of it. One other thing I should point out on the fiscal note is you will notice that it also saves money not only in the capital budget, meaning the loan budget, it also saves money in the operating budget. And that is because what we would be doing is putting the administration on program receipts with this program, and it would take it off the general fund. So we would take $2 million the first year. We'd take immediately $2 million out of our operating budget, and in addition to some $30 million or so out of the loan budget, we would transfer into another funding source. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to try to respond to them.
Any questions for Ben Dolan?
I had two questions. A few years ago, there was a lot of work done on the abuses that were being done on the private pilot's licenses, and I was wondering, was that ever taken care of?
Yes, Representative Dolan, thank you. We have now eliminated, we've passed regulations eliminating the private pilot's license completely. You have to have the private pilot's license in hand before you can even get a loan for the other. And we have to see it now. And the abuse came in where schools and individuals were saying they were going after commercial and then getting the private along the way and dropping out, of course. And so now we say you have to have it in hand. The other thing that's interesting, in our default rates, flight schools do very well. They do as well as any vocational school we have. I was surprised, I'll be honest on that too. I was surprised at that. Those folks pay the loans back.
Other questions?
They want to fly away.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Rumsberg, thinking about what the governor has suggested and the money that he, did you say 39 million?
39.5.
And the anticipated revenues coming in from students paying back 23?
That's correct.
23. What kind of a loan program then? How much would we have to reduce? 55? I know I've heard the figure 4,000 or something. What would we have to reduce the maximum amount to fit in that?
Well, the interesting thing on that, Representative Hanley, is the $23 million that we will collect next year can't really all be used. The money that comes in April, May, and June realistically can't be used to loan out. Our checks will bounce. So we can't. So you have to run that back to about $18 million. So if you took 39.5 and added 18 to it, you'd have about $55 million available for student loans compared to the 79 plus that we had this year. So you're talking about a $25 million, $24 million reduction in the loan program. One of the more interesting aspects of the budget as compared to the plan, the governor is going to, at least I understand, the governor's office is going to introduce a bill with a two-tier program, 4,000 for a first year, and then if you need more, need-based 2,000.
Yeah.
The problem, immediate problem that we run into is the money that's in the budget and the money we have isn't enough to fund 4,000 for everyone. So we would be turning away, this year we have about 2,000 students we turn away. At the level that the budget is placed right now, if we tried to use a $4,000 program, we would be turning away about 4,000 students. We'd be doubling the number we turn away. So there's not enough to even fund the four. Now, I understand there's going to be some kind of language to set aside part of the money to guarantee that there'll be some for the needs portion. If we do that, we'll turn away even larger numbers, you understand. So to answer your question more specifically, I guess we'd have to get down around $3,000. We'd have to cut the program essentially in half to fund it and give everybody something. And when you do that, you're going to have severe impacts on attendance and people's ability to go to school. And by the way, one of the questions that was raised in the Finance Committee, I'd like to address here, if you'll allow me, is by reducing the loan level, what will that do to our in-state attendance? Will that tend to increase the in-state attendance to keep people from going out, or what will it do? Our experience in the past, when we increased loans from 3 to 6, the in-state attendance jumped way up. The out-of-state did not go up anywhere near as much. And I think what you would see, as opposed to keeping people in-state or having them go in-state, I think you'd see in-state attendance drop if we lower the loan amount appreciably, because what you'll have are those students that can now afford to be full-time that are living at home, and by having this program can afford to be full-time, will go back to being part-time students again. And I think you'll see, I mean, not a headcount drop, but a full-time equivalency drop within our state system if we lower this program much. I don't think we're going to discourage the folks from going outside by reducing it a couple thousand dollars.
On the default rate that you mentioned, are they typically the small loans for smaller amounts or larger amounts?
It's the loans for smaller amounts. So the typical defaulter, if you want a profile of them, is a person that's lived in Alaska a long time, 8 to 10 years before they borrow. It's not the newcomer coming up here, the carpetbagger. It's the person who's been here 8 to 10 years that borrows to attend in school or in state, and then drops out and stays in state. That's those are the problems. So those have low borrowing amounts. But to be honest, to give you a more complete answer, Representative Copeland, in 1981 we raised this amount up to $6,000. If you figure a freshman in 81, 82 sophomore, 83 junior, 84 senior, 86 grace year, they're just now, we can, now we're coming into the $24,000 debts.
Yeah.
And we don't know what that's going to be in terms of default rate. And I'll tell you, I'm not comfortable waiting to see what's going to happen with the big debts. We haven't any experience at that level yet, so we don't know. But the, right now, the big defaults are people with borrow once, or not even for a full year. Maybe they have 3,000. They're very, very small loans, and they, and it's what I've described before as kind of an experiential student, someone that's experimenting. They don't know what they want to do. They don't have a job. They're out of school now, out of high school. Should they go to college? What should they do? The market's bad in terms of employment, so they borrow, and they go to school, and that doesn't work for them either. They drop out, they don't feel they're getting anything for the money, and they just don't pay us back. Those are really the problem borrowers.
Questions? Is Sterling Gallagher around?
Sterling was supposed to be here at 8:30 this morning, and as late as yesterday afternoon, he talked to me about it, so I don't know what happened to him.
That's the most important witness. So they can't do it. They say, among us, well, you can't do it. No, I want to go on something else.
Oh, sure.
Are there any other questions? Are there any other witnesses that wish to testify?
Just a quick question. Having received a desperate call from New York about a person whose loan had been turned over to the collection agency and other attorneys, it's my impression that if a student or a person after graduating does experience some difficulty, that arrangements can be made with post-secondary. Is that true?
That's correct. And Representative Hanley, it's a shame that students and borrowers don't first read their contract, and we know they won't. It's a shame they don't. And then it's also a shame, doubly, that they don't contact our office when they have problems, because there's up to a 12-month deferral if you're unemployed. We can lower the payment amounts if a person's called hardship. We can stretch it out over 15 years. We can have them pay interest only. We do everything we can to keep people from going into default. But what happens is they try to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we get the little 30-day notice, and they throw it away in the 60 and the 90. They feel bad inside, but they don't do anything. 120 days, and by law, they're in default. We turn it over to the attorneys, and now they owe 10% interest instead of 8, and they owe the attorney fees, which are amounts of $1,400 on top. And then it's too late. And that's what happens just all the time. And then they'll call, and sure, they could have been in the permit. Could have been, but it's too late.
This particular student, I think her whole approach was that since her loan payment was very little, I think it was $75 a month, she had made special arrangements and then kind of didn't get around to ever paying mm-hmm. what she agreed to pay, and assumed that because it was only $75 that obviously that wouldn't be much of a problem, so she wouldn't pay, and was absolutely appalled when she found that, she was 120 days. And
now her credit is shot, and this is
she's
the other
working,
thing.
Yeah. Working on Wall Street.
Sure.
And it's concerned about her credit rating.
Yeah, right. Well, a little late for
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So.
Maybe I'll have it.
But I did get the impression that you're, in talking with post-secondary, that special arrangements can be made. And
indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there no further questions? We will be hearing House Bill 6 and House Bill 39 again on Thursday. Tomorrow, we have a joint meeting with the Senate House to hear the presentation from the Governor's Council on Gifted and Handicapped, so that we won't be hearing a bill on Wednesday. It will be Thursday. And the time is now 10 minutes after 9. And
thank you for coming. Maybe later.
Great night.